This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to the second show of the week of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline with you here on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM. If you're listening on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 Mountain, 10 a.m. Pacific time, I'm still learning to get all those things straight, but I think I've got that. Then you are listening live and you can call in to the show, 603-816-1590. That's the beauty of talk radio. It's live, it's immediate, and if you got something to say, get it off your chest or spouting off. I take all callers. The only time you would ever get bumped off is if you say the seven words George Carlin says he can't say anymore. And some of them you can probably still say on the radio, but don't chance it, all right? It's so funny that we have censorship of seven words, and yet leftists are censoring conservatives, which is violates the spirit and the entire premise of the First Amendment, that if there's speech you don't like, well, then there ought to be more speech, not less. Anthony Fascist Fauci is advocating censorship in order to, quote, fight the coronavirus. What will they not do to advance communism and socialism in the name of fighting coronavirus? Anything? Raise of hands? Anything at all? Is there anything they're not willing to do that fits precisely the agenda that they have, which is to stick it to conservatives, stick it to Trump voters, to small businesses, anyone who wants to live their life independently and freely and have people leave them alone and let them live their life as they see fit? Used to be the left believed in that, but they don't anymore. They were willing to abandon that in a heartbeat. It was just a heartbeat before leftists were lecturing us about living their lives in freedom and independence of spirit, independence of thought. It doesn't matter if you don't go with the crowd. It's okay if you're a little deviant away from the culture. Now they're demanding everything in the name of collectivism, in the name of socialism, groupthink, and you're not allowed to question. Never thought I'd see I'd live to see that in America. And the reason it's so important is because it's at the heart of everything. Whatever they're censoring you and telling you, it's too dangerous for you to hear, too dangerous for you to see. Number one, they're treating you like a child, right? What, are they going to now have PG and R and X ratings for speech, for ideas? Oh, these are ideas that are not approved by the government. This is what our founders railed against. They knew they were so darn smart for their time, much smarter than the average Joe today, I'd venture to say. And they were adamant about there being a free press, a vigorous press, a press that would ask questions, tough questions, which we don't have anymore. They're in the pocket of the left, or maybe the left is in the pocket of the press. I don't know. But they dictate the agenda. They dictate the narrative. And it's usually the exact opposite of the truth. It's stunning. They never seem to censor things that are untrue, false lies, the lies they're telling. They never censor those. No, if they're censoring it, you can bet there's probably some element of truth to it. They don't want you to know so that they can it'll be easier for them to control you. But it's interesting how they're using the technocracy and big tech in order to control information when it's also the technocracy and big tech that is enabling us to get information they don't want us to know. That doesn't mean everything on the internet is true. It doesn't mean everything you read isn't a conspiracy theory. It means you're a grown up, you're an adult, you get to decide what you read and see, you get to decide what you think. They're trying to control your brain. They're trying to tell you what you're allowed to think, what you're allowed to believe, and what you're allowed to do. If you want to control a society, the first thing you got to do, the Marxists knew, was to control information. Have you ever seen a totalitarian regime, a socialist, Marxist, communist, ist, all of those that all require authoritarianism? Have you ever seen a regime like that that did not control information, that had a free press? Remember Radio Free Europe? Well, I was a kid. I was little. I didn't know what that meant. I thought, what does that mean? They're giving out free radios? I don't know what it means. What it means is getting information to people, like the Cubans are trying to get information, and they have the internet, and they're finding out other people around the world, at least for now, live freer than they've been living for the last 60 years. And they're fighting back at the risk of their own lives. Did we ever think we'd see the fall of the Berlin Wall? No, I didn't. But I celebrated it when it wasn't a huge deal to a lot of people younger than me, because they didn't grow up thinking that the Berlin Wall would be there forever. Forever is a long time. I never thought there would be a free Cuba. Cuba went communist before I was born, and it's been communist it's been communist for over 60 years. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, at a moment when we thought we'd never see it. Cubans are standing up for their liberty and their freedom. And just at the moment when they're standing up for their liberty and their freedom, America is going communist. I wrote a piece about this. I mentioned it. And I was stunned, but not surprised. Today I'm stunned, but never surprised. These days, it's so heartbreaking that Cubans in this country have been fighting for their brethren in Cuba. And in some cases, they know or do not know. I think most of them do. They know it better than we do, that America is going the same way as Cuba. At what speed, we don't know. But if you don't recognize the signs of tyranny, it just gets more and more and more obvious until it slaps you in the face and sticks a jackboot on your neck. That's what this country has stood against for well over 200 years. So here I was, I said I was stunned, but not surprised, to see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who you'd think would be interested in her Latin American brethren in Cuba and their freedom. But since AOC, how annoying to call her that, but it's easier because I'm not going to keep saying her three long names, her multi-syllabic names. She, this was amazing. I just got to let you hear this, okay? Art's going to cue this up for you. She was marching across the Capitol, and some very friendly reporter was asking her about Cuba. And here's what she said. Go.
You know, this issue is, it's not just one facet, but where the U.S. has historically been most aggressive in and where we, you know, in bringing up the embargo, you're pointing to the U.S. role, whereas and U.S. actions. Because if you leave that gaping opening, my concern is that people are trying to lay the groundwork for regime change.
My concern is that people are trying to lay the groundwork for regime change. She doesn't want Cuba to be free. How about that? Have you ever seen a supposed congresswoman who is less articulate than her? Well, actually, I have. I've seen a supposed president who is much less articulate than her. And she's like a millennial dolt Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean every millennial is adult. But there are some millennials that have not learned to use language because all they ever do is text. They can't look people in the eye. Oh, don't get me started. And if you're sensitive about it, then call me and tell me where I'm wrong. I don't think you will. And you know what? Everyone is learning how not to interact. Let's keep distance. We should be afraid of our fellow man. You know, if you live in a bubble and you think everything's going to kill you, eventually everything does. Now, the most important thing is dig your hands in the dirt, get in there and communicate with people you disagree with, and stop being such a bunch of wusses. People in this audience, I don't think, are a bunch of wusses, or you wouldn't be listening to Spouting Off with moi. But look at how pathetically scared people are today. It is amazing. Oh, no, I can't go near you. Oh, don't breathe on me. Oh, you better wear a mask, even though you've been vaccinated. Have you heard the contradictory information from, oh, if you haven't been vaccinated, you better wear a mask, to, if you've been vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask? Why? Because it's the mask of submission that they want. If you're still wearing a mask of submission, rethink that, would you? All right, so AOC revealing, as no one has, that she doesn't want regime change. Does she even know her history? I guess she does. I guess she thinks that the Cubans have had a real easy time of it. After all, they drive around in those 1950s jalopies because they can't get new technology. But that's not even a fraction of it. They don't have liberty. They put their lives in danger to stand up against communism, which is falling. And they put their lives in danger to come to America for supposedly hoped for freedom, liberty, living the so-called American dream. I won't call it the so-called. It is the American dream. But you've got a lot of American citizens born in this country with liberty as their birthright, and yet they can't stand up for the liberty of Cubans who've been suffering under tyranny for 60 years. Did you also notice how AOC, how she has to find a way to blame America? So now she's blaming America for the embargo. Guess what? If it hadn't been for the embargo, then these Cubans would not be standing up. But since she doesn't want Cubans to be standing up for their liberty, she hates America. If people hate America, if these politicians who are supposed to be serving America, not dictating to America, it's such an outrage. It's such a bastardization of what America stands for and where America is supposed to be about. But if you hate America and the idea of America, not just America itself, which a lot of these ignoramus socialists who don't even know what socialism is, don't even know the history, or they've closed their eyes to it, or they really don't care, then you hate America. You hate liberty. If you hate the idea of America, then you hate liberty, because the whole idea of America is personal liberty and personal responsibility. I just want to say in my last minute and a half, because I'm trying to squish it all in there, I loved this piece. DeSantis, Ron DeSantis of Florida, the governor, challenged President Joe Biden during a Fox News town hall to step up and be on the side of freedom by supporting the Cuban people's quest for freedom. He can't even do that. Why? Because he's a puppet in Obama 3.0 on steroids. Who doubts this? And do I think Obama wasn't some kind of a puppet for other major players who are trying to make the whole world go one world government, socialist, communist, technocracy? Yeah, probably. I don't know. I wish I knew who was pulling some of these strings. But whoever it is, a whole lot of people, Democrats and deep staters, are all marching in lockstep with the same agenda. Do you see any Republicans except DeSantis, liberty-loving Republicans, standing up in favor of Cuba's independence and liberty? We're in deep doo-doo, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to talk to a couple of people who have answers for us when we come back. We've got a couple of guests lined up. Stay tuned for that. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here out of Nashua, New Hampshire, but you can listen anywhere on WSMN.live or on my podcast, KarenCataline.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Spouting Off here on WSMN. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. Tomorrow is Party Friday. The end of the week. Have you been working hard? Well, I have. I'm looking forward to the weekend. But first, we have an esteemed guest who I have always respected, especially when I met him in Colorado. He came to Colorado. He probably didn't remember this, but I warned him about another talk show host that has him on regularly in Colorado. And now I've moved to Texas. So happy to have moved to a free state from a slave state. I hope and pray that Colorado will come to its senses, but it's tough out there. Yes, it is. So let me tell you about our guest, because he really is something special. Nobody does what he does. It's Robert Spencer, the author of Did Muhammad Exist? An Inquiry into Islam's Obscure Origins. He is a proprietor of Jihad Watch. Nobody's got more guts and courage than Robert Spencer. Welcome to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Robert Spencer, thanks for joining us.
Karen, good to talk to you again. How you been?
I've been great. I love Texas. Every time I see a scorpion or a snake, I just remember of all the scorpions and snakes living under the Gold Dome in Denver. But that doesn't mean Texas doesn't have its scorpions and snakes. And they get on planes, don't you know, and they escape,
Know,
to Washington, D.C. Snakes on a plane. Did you see that picture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I saw the picture recently.
Yeah, you cannot make this stuff up. But let's talk about your specialty. There isn't anybody around who has not only put his reputation and everything on the line to warn us about radical Islam, and you wrote this book called Did Muhammad Exist? Let's talk about this Afghanistan pulling out. Even Donald Trump did not pull out of Afghanistan because he knew it would be a training ground for terrorists. And yet, what's the first thing Obama 3.0 on steroids does? They pull everyone out of Afghanistan so they can start training terrorists again. Let me just sit back and let you enlighten us to what's actually going on here.
Well, Karen, you know, I do think that we should get out of Afghanistan, that we've been there way too long, that there's no definition for victory. and that there's really no chance for victory the way that the Bush administration had envisioned, that is setting up a Western-style secular republic in Afghanistan. That was never going to happen, and it didn't happen. But that doesn't mean, of course, that I'm in favor of this precipitous and stupid way that the Biden administration is going about it, telegraphing when exactly we're leaving, giving the jihadis notice, essentially abandoning our friends and allies. There's no good that's going to come from this. We should have very carefully disengaged while reconfiguring our forces so that we would limit jihad activity in Afghanistan and limit the ability of the Afghan jihadis to export their jihad elsewhere, as they did, of course, in New York and Washington on 9/11. That's what we should have done. But of course, it doesn't seem as if, again and again, that Biden's handlers have American interests as their first priority.
So well said. I mean, I don't know how, when you put everything together, and it's a long, 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 long list of things that appear to put American citizens in grave and more in greater danger than ever before. What you said makes me wonder about how could Trump didn't pull out of Afghanistan, but he made it very clear he didn't. He wasn't interested in conducting foreign wars. He wanted to pull out, but he really didn't fully pull out of Afghanistan. Do you think he should have? And if he could have, how would he have done it so that we could not have terrorist training in and the
Taliban.
That's the word I wanted. Taliban and others training terrorists in Afghanistan.
Well, that's the thing, that if Trump had been still president, then I think the whole thing would likely have been handled much more intelligently, with in the first place not announcing when we were going to leave, and not giving the terrorists all the information about our whereabouts and our schedule. That's just encouraging them to hold out until we're gone. And so that's the first mistake. The second is not targeting their training camps and making it very clear that this kind of activity is not going to be tolerated, and not going to be tolerated even when we're gone. What we should be doing now is using our forces in the area and whatever else is available to make sure that the training camps are completely stymied, and that they can neither train jihadis for Afghanistan and especially for overseas. Obviously, this was not done in the run-up to 9/11, or 9/11 wouldn't have happened. There were jihadis who were not Afghans who were spirited into Afghanistan, incidentally, by Hezbollah and the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then brought out again and allowed to get into New York and to mount this operation. So we should be studying the movements of jihadis, the activities of jihadis in terms of where they're trained, and make sure that that can't happen again. But the Biden administration is doing none of this whatsoever. It's just essentially just washing their hands of the whole situation.
Yeah. You know, Robert, I'm struck again and again with the number of I have no control over anything, really. I wish I did. But I'm struck by the number of conservative or seemingly conservative pundits and talk show hosts who are loath to say what you just said and I agreed with, which is they're doing all this on purpose. You could not do this. Put Americans in danger, you know, just to make another analogy, another clear thing that has to do with terrorism, and that is we have open borders, we allow terrorists, unvetted, open immigration, and then we go after law-abiding citizens and take away their rights to defend themselves. On and on it goes. We want to be dependent on foreign oil after Donald Trump made us independent. That, increasing our ties to Arab oil. And yet, a lot of conservatives are afraid to just say that they are doing things to harm Americans, that this is an anti-America and anti-American citizen policy. Do you find that, without mentioning names, and I know you won't, do you find that somehow even conservatives are afraid to say what's obvious?
Yeah, I think that there's a tremendous fear among a lot of conservatives, especially, of course, the establishment conservatives, that they don't want to give the impression that they don't think that the other side is loyal. Actually, the left did number on them in the 90s with this. You know, there was this whole thing about don't question my patriotism and so on. Mm. And the thing
about
it is,
which is exactly why you should.
Yeah. When you have the Biden administration, Biden, right after he became president, actually speaking and repudiating an America First policy, then I think we should take them at their word that they're not America First. They're not putting the interests of Americans first in their foreign policy or in their domestic policy, and that ought to be something that no American should think is acceptable.
That's one of the reasons I have so much respect for you, because you don't mince words. You appreciate the time-sensitive nature of what it is we're dealing with. We don't have time to pussyfoot around here.
Yeah, absolutely. America has formidable enemies, and they see the weakness in the White House, and that emboldens them. And that's not just the jihadis, but also, of course, China, Russia, Iran. You know, there's so many reasons why we don't need weakness at the top right now, but that's what we've got.
Well, there's two questions. I want to make sure I have time for both of them, because these interviews, they go so fast. We do have time. So let me not forget to say how can we take heart? Is there any good news out there? Because all of this with an incompetent, someone who's in mental decline, and even if he weren't, he still appears to be a puppet of the hard left either way. And all of these dangers around the world, it's easy to lose heart. And then if we have time, let's do this second one first. Can you speak to how come we're not hearing anything from John Kerry, even though he clearly stabbed Israel in the back, and yet you don't even hear his name, right? I mean, I know he's not in an official position right now, is he? Wait a second.
Yeah,
I'm getting
dealing with climate
when he was
change.
In
the... He's the climate change guy for the Biden administration.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was Secretary of State under Obama. But now, you know, he's doing double duty, making sure that Israel's enemies know what the Arabs are up to. Interesting. What do you think Kerry is up to?
Well, I think that Kerry is probably laying low to some degree because the mess in Afghanistan is in large part his doing. He is the one who worked with Hamid Karzai, the former president of Afghanistan, and tried to establish the Afghan is largely responsible for the fact that the Afghan regime in Kabul is pro-Sharia, which is supposed to be what we were fighting in the Taliban. And so, you know, it's all a terrible boondoggle in large part because of John Kerry. And so he has good reason to keep a low profile right now when the whole world's attention is focused on that. But I do think there is good news, and that is just in the fact that we're having this conversation. You know,
okay, hold on 1 minute before we get to the good news, because it's hard to stop talking about the bad news. Even if Kerry is laying low and he's responsible, he's doing the bidding of the Democrats. He's doing the bidding of Samantha Power and her husband, Cass Sunstein, and on it goes. They all think alike. Not one of them is pro-Israel. Not one of them is pro-liberty. One more comment on that, and then we'll get to the good news.
This is the most anti-Israel administration since the founding of the modern state of Israel. And Israel knows that they're going to have to go it alone, essentially, because they can't count on help from Biden's handlers. The good news is just that we know about this in the sense that in 2016, you know, I think most of us thought, well, if Trump wins the election, as he did, then he will be able to act as president and implement his agenda. And nobody anticipated that there would be this entrenched bureaucracy fighting him and trying to frame him for crimes and so on. But now it's all out in the open. Now we know that we're dealing with criminals who are intent on holding and solidifying their hold on power, regardless of constitutional protections. And they're destroying the freedom of speech. They're destroying the right to bear arms and so on. It's not good that they have all this power, but it is good that we know that they're out there and that we're aware of what they're doing in a way that we did not know 4 years ago.
This is a very tough question, but you're such a smart man. So if you were king for a day, but you only deal with what is possible, which is tough. What do you think is the most effective thing we could do? So we have awareness, but we don't have a lot of power. I have some ideas on this, but I would love to know what you think is the most effective thing we could do to try our damnedest in our lifetime to return America to its former glory of individual freedom and liberty for all.
Well, I think one of the most important things is to break the hegemony of the social media giants, so that freedom of speech is restored and protected and that we're able to get our message out, because everything's based on that. You know, the more that they close us up, the more we're shouting into the void and just talking to each other, the more the other side gains. And so if that battle is not fought and won, then the rest of them don't matter.
And it's always that way in every system that goes in the direction of tyranny. They go after speech first. I just got through saying that in my monologue. And isn't it a wonder that that's the one thing Trump is now working on and harping on, is restoring free speech? He does have a talent, you know? He does have a talent for zeroing in on the thing he thinks is going to give him the biggest bang for his buck.
Well, that's the most important fight that we face right now. So more power to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've experienced that personally. You wrote a book called Did Muhammad Exist? Now, you've been fighting some virulent, virulent hatred for most of your career because you have the guts to say things other people don't have the guts to say. This is about as blasphemous to Muslims as I guess you could be, except maybe drawing a picture of Muhammad somewhere in a French cartoon, you know, in a French newspaper. Talk about your book and talk about, had you gotten even more hostility than normal, or is it about the same?
Well, yeah, I've gotten maybe a bit more than normal, but I didn't expect anything different. I think that this is important to explore. I mean, in the first place, it's a historical question. I think it's a fascinating one and that people will find a lot of surprising things in the book. But above all, this kind of historical exploration has been carried out for Judaism and Christianity for centuries, and nobody minds. But when it comes to Islam, suddenly everyone gets scared. And so I thought, if we're going to stand up for the freedom of speech and defend the right to the freedom of inquiry, then there has to be somebody who is willing to take this on. And that's one of the main reasons why I wrote the book in the first place.
Robert Spencer, I actually asked my producer for one extra minute so that I could point out and highlight the kind of courage that you've had dealing with some of the greatest censors in the world. Islam, everybody knows they're going to clamp down. That's why they like authoritarianism. I mean, Islamic regimes, not Muslim people. And you are a model of courage. You know, if people don't have the courage to walk into a grocery store without a muzzle on their face, they ought to watch and look at what you have done in your life, Robert Spencer. I can't thank you enough because you are a role model for many. Tell everybody how they can find your book and find your website.
Well, thank you, Karen. You're very kind, and I appreciate it. I'm at jihadwatch.org, and that is a news site that is updated many times daily with news and commentary on jihad activity in the United States and around the world. And at jihadwatchrs on Twitter, there's also a Facebook group if you can find it amid all the shadow banning.
Great. Robert Spencer, always a pleasure and honor to talk to you, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. We got to take a break. I'm late. We'll be right back on Spouting Off with Karen Cataline right after this.
listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.